You are so amazing. And we humble ourselves before you this morning. And my prayer, Lord, is that we all have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to Lord God, that it's not like we've heard it before, Father God, or we got it all together, that we humble ourselves before you. And we receive your engrafted words with meekness, dear Lord God. And I thank you for giving me this morning the tongue of the learned, according to Isaiah 50. Father, that I may speak a word in season to them that are weary. According to 1 Corinthians, Lord, that my teaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is in demonstration. And I pray for the manifestation of your Spirit and a power, Father God. I thank you that your word is being sown on good ground, and I'm believing for a 30, 60, and 100-fold return on the life of the hearers, dear Lord God. I pray not for our church alone, but I pray for Pastor Charles at Corona AME this morning, dear Lord God. I pray for Pastor Jeremy down at Connection Church and his wonderful congregation. We pray for Crossroads and Pastor Chuck this morning, Father God. We pray for Pastor Adam over at South Hills, dear Lord God. Pray for Pastor John right next door to us, Heavenly Father. Lord, there are a couple of churches in Corona right now without pastors. We pray as they search, Father God, that you would bring the right man of God to this city. And Lord, I just thank you that there's unity in this city, that you're pleased with us, and the 90,000 that live here that don't know you, that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let all who agree with that say,
amen,
amen, amen, amen, amen, amen. Okay, just one quick thing, just one quick PSA, public service announcement. I'm wearing a suit today because I got a wedding at 1 o'clock. So our first-time guest, you come back next Sunday, I will not have a suit on. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Remember the first time we had our first service, my friend Pastor Ugo came. And, you know, the church we came from, Zoe, you know, Bishop Ed pretty much, Pastor Ed at that time, we would always wear suits. And I didn't have on a suit. Started my church, I ain't wearing no suit. So, no, I'm being silly. But I did not have on a suit that day, and just a shirt and some slacks. And after service, Pastor Ugo said, "You're not wearing a suit." I'm like, "Okay, well, did Jesus wear one?" Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Where are we going? And they asked, okay, help me. I get so busy. We're somewhere, and they said, can the women wear? Oh, no, no, I'm working. Well, we got a trip to Haiti. I'm working with your sister, Elder Joyce. And we're talking with the pastor down in Haiti and just planning a missions trip that'll be in March. And she asked, she was why. She said, now, what's the dress for the ladies? And I've forgotten that. And he's like, yes, you must wear skirts or a dress. And I just kind of chuckled. I mean, where did it get there from? And apostolic, I know you came up apostolic, some others, okay? And I know that was the thing, don't wear makeup and all this. Yeah. That ain't scripture. So anyway, I could see that interpretation, but often we'll read the scriptures through our Western mindset. And that's what you got to be careful too, because this is literally a Middle Eastern book. And that culture predates our culture. So if anybody's right and somebody's wrong, they're right and we're wrong, if you want to look at it that way. So when we're reading the Bible, you got to read it through the lens of culture at that time, okay? And so even when they talk about, as the Old Testament talks about women wearing men's clothing, right. So if I'm not mistaken, men and women kind of wore like these skirt things, right?
Come on. Yeah. Set it up.
So who was wearing pants back in the day? So who's to say that a woman can't wear pants?
Right.
Amen? We just get caught up in some things, so God bless us. Some people are sincere, they're just sincerely wrong. All right, let's get into this. The sermon today is part 5 of Eyesight, Living in the Unseen. This is part 5, Living in the Unseen. You may say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, let's look at the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4:18, verse 18 says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Now, this is Paul writing a letter to the church in Corinth, okay? So I like to pretend, as you all know this, that he's writing a letter to the church in Corona, okay? It makes it more real and applicable for me. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze. Say fix. Means to be steadfast. So fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. Now that's kind of weird right there, but I need you to know that there is an unseen realm that is superior to the seen realm. So where God lives, and we've talked about this before, you can go to newdaycorona.org and listen to the previous messages. I strongly encourage you that, because that was a foundation for this. And I want you to understand that God is a spirit and he lives in a spirit realm. Jesus, when he was on the cross, okay, Luke 23:46, he says this, right before he died, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my, and his body was placed in the tomb. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How can I be absent from my body? Well, because I don't have a spirit, I am a spirit, and I live in this body. Now, sometimes we use the word soul and spirit interchangeably. They're two distinct different things. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It tells us that. Paul said, and he's closing out that letter, he says, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. Three distinct things. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. Now, what most of us, where most of us live, is in a soulish realm. You're led by your emotions. You're led by your feelings. And understand how that comes about. You get traumatized and things happen. Part of my whole spiritual journey, as most of you guys know, was because my father and the challenges he and I had is one of the reasons I left the church. And just beginning to try to figure out things on my own. Well, that was because of trauma. Trauma would do that to you. But that's why Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted. Now, what we have to do is allow him to heal our hearts. First, you got to admit that you need some healing. Because many of us are like, I'm fine. I'm all right. Ain't nothing wrong with me. You need to back up. Mind your own business. And you will go through life with that and never fully step into all that he has. And so you will be led by your emotions, which is really a substandard way of living by far, okay? 1 John says that, he said, I pray, 3 John says, I pray that you will prosper in all things. Really got to prosper here. The prosperity summit is in your mind and your soul. You need a prosperous soul. And it's not just, well, I'm believing God for a Cadillac. That is still low-level living. Because you get a Cadillac and you can't afford the payments, it's going to make your soul, your stuff even worse. I see people with Cadillacs and you need new tires, you can't afford them. Wow. I know, really. You know, I remember those Navigators, the big trucks came out, you know, big Navigators, the Ford Creator. I had a cousin that bought one. His name is Keith Anderson. He can listen, I don't care. He got a, if you know my cousin, okay. But he bought one, and like a few weeks later, Tony, let me have $20. I said, for what? I need some gas. Once you know me and my cousins, we joke like that. It's okay. Some of y'all are like, oh, God, what kind of... Okay, hey, ease up. We clown each other all the time. He clowned me, too. Me and Jackie were having financial troubles back in the 90s. And, I mean, I lost everything. Before I married her, had a foreclosure. After I married her, had a foreclosure. And one time, Keith, the same cousin, you know, he's looking at my credit report. He's like, man, ooh, Tony, this is bad. He said, if you apply for credit anywhere else, they can come arrest you. Okay. So we joke, okay? That's me and my cousin, okay? So here, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. That's the spirit realm, okay? For the things we see now will soon be gone, literally, okay? That means they're subject to change because they're temporary. That's why I've learned not to get hung up when things don't go my way, okay? But the things we cannot see will last forever. Now, please, this bullet point right here. My desire as pastor is not only for Christians to be spirit-filled, okay, but to also live spirit-led lives. I know a lot of people speak in tongues all day long. Oh, glory! And just Jesus, 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 Jesus. My little grandbaby, they're going down to Legoland on vacation. Thank you. Going down to Legoland. And, okay, hang on a second. You know how they say fake it till you make it? That wasn't working. Okay. So we're going on to Legoland. And she got so excited. When they got to the hotel room, she jumped on, he had two beds, and she jumped on a bed. I don't know if it was Lavelle or Racille, his mom or dad. Somebody was filming her. She jumped on the bed, started rolling around, and said, I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got the joy, joy, joy. She was happy. 4 years old, she was happy. And so many of us, we get excited about some things, we get depressed about some things, but everything's subject to change, even the good stuff. I learned I never get too high, I never get too low. It's going to change, and we got to learn to flow with it. But the thing is that we get led by our emotions, and I want you led by the Holy Spirit, amen? John 14, verse 15 through 17 says this, and this is Jesus speaking. He's getting ready, you know, to go to the cross, and he says this, verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he's talking to his disciples, okay, and he will give you another advocate. An advocate is someone on your side. Now, here's something controversial. You're talking about it in men's fellowship yesterday, and doesn't matter what side of the spectrum you're on, just listen to me, okay? Years ago, O.J. Simpson was alleged to have killed Nicole Simpson, amen? And so whether you think he did or didn't, doesn't matter right now. O.J. Simpson hired Johnny Cochran as his lawyer. And Shapiro and somebody else, I forget, but he had the dream team. But they were advocates for O.J. Simpson. They fought on his behalf. I mean, F.T. Bailey or somebody, he shredded Mark Furman on the stand, the detectives, and just ripped him apart all on behalf of O.J. Now, I think O.J. did it, but that's just me. But even if I was guilty of something, I would be the first to call Johnny Cochran too. And so you understand an advocate in that sense. When you okay, but it's the same thing here. Jesus, I said, I have someone who's greater than Johnny Cochran. Rest his soul. And some of the young people are like, who is O.J. Simpson? Okay. Verse 17. Oh, it says an advocate who will never leave you. Now, I need you to get this image, okay? David, can you come here for a second? David, come here. Yeah, stop talking to Daddy. Come here. Great job of baptism, Minister Sean. Amen. Give Minister Sean a hand, please. Where's Minister Ed? He's still getting dressed? Okay, he's with the kids. Okay. Oh, there he is. Hey, Minister Ed. Great job, my friend. Amen. Now, I want you to stay with me wherever I go, okay?
Okay.
You ready? Holy Spirit will never leave me. Holy Spirit will never leave me. Holy Spirit will never leave me. Right. Give Johnny a hand, please. Amen. And that's how he is with us. I need you to see that. It's going to be important in just a little while, okay? Amen. Verse 17, he is the advocate. He is the Holy Spirit who leads. Who leads. Now, a minute ago, who was leading? You caught that, huh? But he leads us into all. And most of what we believe in life is a lie. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you will know him because he lives with you now. He lives with you now. And later will be what? And people deny that it would ever happen. No. That went out with the apostles. It's not what Jesus said. He will later be in us. He's come, the Spirit of the living God, the creator of the universe, has come to dwell within my heart. That's the most amazing thing ever. And that still blows me away that I'm that special with God, that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell within me. The creator of the universe lives within me. The Spirit of the living God lives within me. Say it with me. The Spirit of God lives within
me.
So there are those times when Jackie is just getting on my last nerve. I don't know why I didn't stop her when she got to my first nerve. I let her get all the way to my last one. Should have stopped her earlier. But the thing is that, and that's what we do. We let people really get to us. We let things get to us. And then we begin to base our life or our emotions, our circumstances on how we're experiencing people and all that. And it's not about that. And so my value is not based on how you respond to me. Because God loved me so much. His Spirit dwells within me. And there is no person on this planet can top that. None. And some of us, we got to let this sink in because you would be around somebody and they would drive you batty. You will quit. You know, most, I think it was 70-some percent of people, they don't quit their jobs, they quit their bosses. Brother Malik Carthon sent me an article yesterday about why churches fail. But within that article, it talked about how many people leave the church because of another member. And then it really, what blessed me about the article is only 14% say they leave the church because of the preaching. So they leave church because of y'all. I was reading it like, cool. Turn your handouts over, please. So I want to get into something today, you know, and my teaching and preaching is really with the emphasis of the Word of God and our practical emphasis on our day-to-day living. But right now I want to get it just a little bit more theological. I mean, just so this is going to be a little bit more academic today, but I want you to see something, okay? Now, first I want to establish something before we get into this. We're going to look at Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit right now. But I want to establish a baseline here that God is a God of order, connectivity, not chaos and confusion. All right, you two ought to come sit up front. That clap. Because see, the people that didn't clap is like, because I'm in the confusion and chaos. I know, okay. No, that's why you didn't clap, okay. But chaos and confusion is not of God. The devil is into division and disorder and discord. That's what he loves to do. He loves to divide and just come against. And then if we can't work together, we can't stand strong, okay? Now let's look at Jesus in Ephesians and understand something about the order of things here. And Ephesians 4:11 is going to tell us something about Christ and gifting, okay? Verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ, say Christ.
Christ.
These are the gifts Christ gave to the church. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, I need you to, these are called what we call the fivefold ministry, okay? Fivefold. And meaning there are five offices, if you would. Now, for clarity, okay? Just for clarity. When I first started ministry, I operated as an evangelist. I was in an office. And one of the telltale or evidence of an evangelist is the supernatural. It's not just salvation. And when we get, in a few minutes, I'm going to share more about my testimony and me and Jackie's progression, if you would. Today, I stand in the office of an apostle and a pastor. And you say, I know in Ephesians, it talks about the foundation of apostles and prophets. And some people read that as that was gone out. And now we only have pastors, evangelists, and teachers. And anytime you don't experience something, you dismiss it. And I've learned that about a lot of Christian leaders and teachers and theologians. Because you study, and then Corinthians tells us you got to watch all the knowledge because knowledge puffs up. And you begin to think you got it all figured out. Just because, so if it didn't happen to you, as holy as you are, then it must have gone out with the apostles, or must be something lacking. Just because I haven't experienced something doesn't mean it's not true. Okay, so now the apostles and apostolic anointing is upon me, and I'll explain that some other time. Every now and then, the prophetic might come out, but early on, I was operating as an evangelist in that capacity there. There was a lot of deliverance. There were a lot of healings, a whole lot of salvations that came through me and Jackie's ministry. Okay, never thought I would pastor. I mean, the things we saw, the miracles we saw then versus as a pastor, I mean, it's like night and day. But the pastor role, that's more of a shepherd and a teacher, okay? Now, look at verse 12. Now, the reason that Christ gave these gifts, my responsibility, and this is what you got to watch out too. For anybody that calls himself an apostle, prophet, or an evangelist or whatever. This is their job. Their responsibility is to equip. Say equip.
Equip.
Equip literally means, in its original meaning, the root word of equip means, in Greek, it means this, to mend that which is broken. Now, earlier I talked about your emotions and living in a soulless realm. My job is to help you get healed, to mend that which is broken. Now, a lot of churches, and this is where I came from, okay, and I've talked to the elders about this too. I like to go to church and feel good just like the rest of you. I remember singing those songs. I got joy, joy, joy. And there's nothing wrong with that feeling good. That's why he gave us happiness and we jump and we bounce. But at the end of the day, I need to be equipped because I have a God-given assignment. I'm going to get to that in a second. Now, I need to equip you to do God's work. And many of us, we don't think about God's work. We just think, I got to go to work tomorrow, my job. Now, you got your job and you got your work. That job is what you're going to be headed to in the 91 tomorrow. Bless you. Your work is the thing God created you to do. There's a distinct difference, okay? So, and now you do the work to build up, not tear down, build up the church. Let that settle in. How many people just, and it's, you know what cracks me up? Google reviews. Well, people going and judge a church. I got people that judge me. They ain't run nothing in their life but their mouth, but they go on Google. They never started an organization, don't know what it's like to lead a volunteer or anything. It's amazing. You can go and just give your opinion. It blesses me. I won't take them down. That's fine. Bless you. You got work to do, and you're supposed to build up the church. So my question, now take this home. Just take it. Don't everybody just keep you looking at me. What have you done in 2018 to build up the church? So God is God of grace. 2019 is your opportunity. I'm going to build up the church. That's what it says here. Which is the body of Christ. Got it? Everybody understand that? Okay. And that's what these pastors and prophets and apostles and everybody's supposed to be doing, okay? And one more, last verse 13. I want you to see this, and you can read the rest on your own. Read the rest on your own. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be what? And many of us are still immature. You can know scripture and still be immature. Because I'm going to tell you something. You really want to know what you're made of? Watch how you respond in adversity. Because when the pressure's on, let's see what comes out. And you start cursing like Cat Williams or Kevin Hart. What's the foster girl name? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she nice in little interviews. Because everybody's tipping their head. And I went and watched the YouTube. I'm like, oh, Jesus. There's some healing that's needed. I ain't mad. And just because people make millions of dollars don't mean make them right. We need to become mature in the Lord. Going to church doesn't make us mature. Okay, let's keep going. Let's go. That's Jesus. He gave gifts. Now let's go to God. Romans 12. God has given gifts too. I want you to see this, please. So a little bit different today, but I want you to understand this. Now Romans 12, 6, and it says this. In his grace, God has given us different what?
Yes.
Now the gifts was for doing certain things. How?
Well.
It's all good. I don't know. I get to it when I get to it. So you show up at church, and you have a post. Something you're supposed to be doing. At the end of church, can you say you did your job well? You're a greeter, and you're looking at the other greeter like, mm-hmm. Hey, brother, how you doing, my sister? Welcome, welcome. Hey, sister, girlfriend. Come on. I expect that from my four-year-old. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. You can be a professional. You can have all kind of them three letters behind your name. Got all your education. And your heart, you are a child. You won't let stuff go. That same grandbaby I was talking about, it got joy, joy, joy. So when we had Harvest Night out here, they were playing musical chairs, right? And then, you know, you walk around and music stopped. And she didn't have a chair. She had a serious meltdown. I started screaming tears and just... And I'm like, oh, life is just over, huh? You just ready to give it up. You just, I can't take no more. 4 years old. And, you know, we laughed. I laughed at her. Yeah, but she was serious. But I expect it from a four-year-old. Kids get older. We expect, hey, you got to handle that better. But then we become adults and we do the same thing. Can't wait to get each other back. You stood at the altar in front of everybody and said, I do. And now you even as like, give me my car keys. Go stand in the street. Immature. You know what a mature person does? I was wrong. I'm sorry. What do I need to do to make it better? You want to know what a really mature person does? When they're right, they say, I was wrong. How do I need to make this better? What do I need to do?
Yes.
Four claps. Okay. Y'all are like, I ain't there, Pastor. Not there. I need some more Jesus. Maybe I need to be baptized again. I ain't there. Okay, let me keep reading. Okay. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, that's a gift, okay? Speak out with as much faith as God has given you. A lot of times we're shrinking back from what he's given us. Verse 7, if the gift is serving others, serve them well. And some of you guys, the gift is Sharon here, Sharon Bruner. Sharon, it seems like every time we have an event, I see Sharon serving. It's like, oh, she over there. And I know the gift of serving is upon her. It seems as though she looks for opportunities to be a blessing to other people. Because every time I look around, she's serving. Some of you can have the gift to serve others, and it's great. It doesn't make you less than, but you're going to serve them well. Now, that's the other thing, too. If you got the gift to serve, put that McDonald's, that Chick-fil-A at it. You got to, my pleasure. That's how you want to serve, amen? If you're a teacher, teach well. I remember there was a lady who had a teaching gift, and she showed up. I can't say that because it's talking about people. Okay, let me keep going. I saw it. That was wrong. Verse 8. I mess up too. Verse 8. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give. I'm not going to take an offering. If it's giving, give. Okay, I'm scared. Oh, I knew it was coming. See, you set us up. No, I didn't. Okay, if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. You can't be all up in your feelings. I can't come up and get mad because me and Jackie got into it. No. I got to take this serious. What happens at home, I can't be bringing that stuff here. Take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness, just to others, do it. I was so blessed. My passport is full. And so I had to go get a new one. It didn't expire. It's full. And so went to the passport place in Corona. That lady that helped us was the nicest lady on the planet. Just kind. Just bouncing around and the place was chaotic. There were so many people. Other two people were scrambling to know what to do. And she just came in just kind. Changed the whole environment. She showed up and there was a shift in the atmosphere. I'm telling you, all of a sudden everybody started laughing. And you have that ability. The Spirit of God dwells within you. Yeah. But sometimes we walk, I'm telling you, everything shifts. Point is this, God has graced you with something that you naturally do. You do it with ease, and generally you do it better than most people. And you begin to take it for granted, but we need your gift. Your gift is to benefit me. So God has graced you with a gift. There's something you're just great at. It doesn't take much effort. Think about it. What do people commend you on? Amen? Last one, Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 6 to 12. Watch this. Let's start at verse 7. A spiritual gift. Now, what's a spiritual gift? That's supernatural help from outside the physical realm. Now, I need that gift too because I'm down in the physical realm. I need some help from outside. Now, a lot of you guys, here's the thing. I remember, most people don't say this anymore. Remember we used to look for the hookup? You walk up somewhere, can I get the hookup? Meaning, give me a discount. Don't let me pay for it. Give me a bigger room or something. We look for the hookup. Now, man can hook me up with something. How much more can the Creator hook me up? So he's on the outside looking down here where we are. We need to tap into that. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can what? It's all about love. It's all about one another. And many times it's all about us. You know, most of the sermons I preach are for y'all. I mean, not just you. I mean, but just it is. Verse 8. Let me keep going. To one person, the Spirit gives. Who gives? You don't conjure it up. You don't own it. You don't oh, there it is. The Lord says, run from people to do that. The Lord says, you don't just, let me put my prayer shawl on. Touch myself. Let me get the oil. No. The Spirit moves as the Spirit wills. And he gives us the ability to give wise advice as a word of wisdom. Sometimes we need to know something. Sometimes got to give you a word to speak to someone. To another, he gives a special knowledge. In fact, I need to go to school. Let me have the King James on this, please. Because I want you to get this. The pressure. A word of knowledge. I had a guy in Ghana. 2005. He kept following me. It was our last day, and they had taken us shopping to buy some gifts and souvenirs, and we were in this flea market, this open-air thing. This guy kept running behind me with this little carving. Come on, hey, brother. And I'm like, dude, ease up, back up. And that pastor gift hadn't kicked in yet. I wasn't a shepherd. I was the wreck. No! Look, I told you I don't want it. He kept following me, Then finally, the Spirit of God hit me, and I turned, I looked at the guy, and I said, and I gave him some bad things. You've done this. And you're a Muslim, aren't you? And yeah, but you're not saved. And I just boom. Right? I just didn't even met him. And he looked at me, he's like, how do you know? How did I know? And I said, you want to be saved? Yeah. Then you need to renounce Allah. Huh? right now in front of me, we're in a public, he lifted his hands and say, I renounce Allah. I renounce Allah. Say, I renounce Islam. I renounce Islam. Say, I want Jesus. Right there, got saved. Right there. Didn't know the guy from anybody. And right now, some of you are like, just because anything happened to you with your educated self. I like USC too. Hallelujah. Berkeley, good for you. Glory. Just because you're educated, you look at something like that now. Well, I know that wasn't the devil. How do you know it wasn't God? Why do you default to the enemy? Next verse, please, Lavelle. To another faith by the same spirit. Sometimes you need the supernatural gift of faith. Not that, okay, I have faith, I'm going to get this job. I'm going to name it and claim it. I'm going to confess it and bless it. I'm going to get it. Or my new the new thing going out. Oh, I'm going to speak it into existence. All right. Job. You better get you some training. And get somebody tighten up your resume and get them grammatical errors off of it. To another faith by the same spirit. You know, like a mother, a car turns over on a baby. And then she goes and picks that car up. She gets a faith. She believed. When she walked over that car, she believed this sucker about to come up off my child. To another gifts of healing. You know, when, again, I remember one particular time in that office of evangelists. One time, I'll tell you about this one. So I would take men away for some prayer and things like that. And one time, one of the guys his hip was busted or something. He came and he was on a crutch, and it's real vague. But you know, you're praying for people, and this is the gift of healing. Because I prayed for the guy, and as I walked back up on the stage, everybody erupted. It was probably about 40 men. They just erupted because the guy stood up and started leaping. Man, it freaked me out too. It did. I'm like, and I knew that was that. It wasn't me. To another gifts of healing by the same spirit. Next one, please. To another, the working of miracles, and miraculous. To another, prophecy, and that's a good one. Okay, another one, discerning of spirits. Oh, sometimes when you walk in a house, you walk in a situation, you need to discern what's going on there. And just because he got good hair and green eyes. Let me Instagram this. Hey, okay, all right. You ain't discerning. You're going to get more than your feelings hurt. To another, different kinds of tongues. Now, just real quick on this, okay? Because this is where people get confused about tongues. Well, is the spirit move? No, it's two different things. This is a public demonstration of speaking in tongues. Now, this is going to come with the companion gift of interpretation of the tongue, okay? So even if right now one of y'all stood up and started speaking in tongues, I'm going to look at you. Because if somebody don't come with an interpretation, that wasn't from God. So what you're saying, Pastor, I always need an interpreter? No. In your private time, if it's your private prayer language and it's just you and worshiping God, that's between you and God. Because when you pray in tongues, you're not speaking to man, you're speaking to God. Got it? Understand. So somebody's like, well, I ain't into that. Okay, fine. It's just like when I had Johnny follow me. God, Jesus said, I got something for you, an advocate, something that's going to help you. And you're denying that, and so it's going to be a substandard way of living. I'm telling you, you got to move out of the seen into the unseen. And learn to be okay with that. There's a more dominant realm, if you would, than this realm that we live in. The Holy Spirit will lead you. Going back to that article I read from Malik, when he says 68% of churches fail, why? Why do they fail? Why would a church fail? That's interesting. God tells someone to start a church and then it fails. And Malik sent me an article in some congratulatory sense saying 60% of churches failed, and look at you, Pastor Tony, here 9 years later. The Spirit has been sent to lead us into all truth. I got a question for you. I'm going to close with this. If the Spirit of God is not leading you in life, then who is? If the Spirit of God is not leading you in life, who is? If the Spirit of God is not leading you in your life, then who is? If the Spirit of God is not leading you in your life, then who is? If the Spirit of God, now I get in trouble right now because some people, like especially first-time guests, I've heard people say, your pastor's looking directly at me. I don't do that. So I'm looking at everybody right now. If the Spirit of God, it's called conviction. Okay. If the Spirit of God is not leading you, then who is? The Spirit of God is not leading your life, then who is? Who is? Think of your choice and your decisions. Are they rooted in the Spirit of God and the things of God? Are they rooted in your meanness, your vindictiveness? Okay, that's one thing. Or your insecurity? Many of us, that's where we're living from. I want you to rise above that. Next year, we're having a class just on the Holy Spirit, just so you can understand this in more detail. Amen? Yeah. Bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you with grateful hearts. Thankful, dear Lord.